The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. After the song, please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
I would see Jesus when the flowers of joy adorn my way, when sunshine and when hope surrounds my path from day to day, when friends I cherish most are near and hearts encircle mine.
To John chapter 12 and verse 20, the hymn that we just sang, I Would See Jesus, is really sort of based off of this passage. John 12 and verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." All right, so notice this. You've got Greeks who are not Israelites, okay? They're not Jewish people. These are Gentile people, but yet they have come up to the feast to worship God, the one true living God. And so these are some special people, okay? These are people who, you know, of course, we know from the New Testament that God has always had a people in every kindred, nation, and tongue, but yet they were not invited into the feast yet, like the Jewish people were. But yet here these Greeks are. They've come up to worship God. The same came therefore to Philip, one of the disciples of Christ, which was of Bethsaida and Galilee, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These Greeks, they came for a purpose, and their purpose was to see Jesus. Now, I hope and pray that every time that we come to worship God, we come with a purpose, and that is to see Jesus, and to maybe to see Him in a way that you haven't experienced before. You know, I'm still learning things about my wife, okay? And I know you could all say the same. We've been married 9 years. Many of you have been married much longer. And I learn new things about her every day. And so it would obviously not surprise us to know that a God such as Christ, who has no bounds, that we might be able to see and discover new things about Him every day. And so I certainly hope that as we come to worship God on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or whenever we worship, that we might come seeking to see Jesus. But also I pray that every day that I wake up in the morning, that my mission that day would be to see Jesus, to feel Him, to experience Him. Perhaps to be of service, to do something, to feel Him beside me. So, with that being in mind, let's go to Matthew 28. And I'll confess as we go through this that I do not always have this mindset of wanting to see Jesus. Now, if I did, my life would be far richer and far better. If every day I woke up and the first thing on my mind and the last thing on my mind when I went to sleep was, I want to see Jesus. You know what happens if you want to see Jesus? You see Jesus, okay? You get to see Him. If you seek Him, you will find Him. That's a promise given to us in Scripture. Now, we come here to some folks in Matthew 28. Who knew Jesus in a sweet way, okay? These are people who walked with Him while He was physically here. Now, I guess I'll forever be jealous of them until I'm in the presence of Christ myself, that they got to lay hands on Him, that they got to hug Him. Can you imagine? You know, you going through your day and look, I know we're most of us are adults here. And you have learned ways as you grow up and as you mature to not cry through your eyes. You can just kind of take the pain inside, right? but we still have pain. We still hurt. Various things come along on a daily basis, even, and you know it just hurts. Imagine having Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, walk in there beside you. And you've got a whole day before you're going to get to your destination and you're just walking beside Him. Imagine the things that you would talk about. Imagine being able to have the God who loves you with an everlasting love just sitting there talking with you. Now, He's with us in spirit all the time anyway, you know. You think about that as you're driving to work or you're driving anywhere. You know, you've got an hour on your way there, and the Lord of Glory is right there with you. You can pray. My problem is that I know that, and then I start off praying, and then I don't know if it's the devil or maybe it's just my brain. I start thinking about all these other things that don't matter, you know, and lo and behold, you know, my prayer time lasted an hour, but I only prayed about a sentence, right? Because I get there to work and been trying to pray that I'll be in the right spirit when I get there, and then meanwhile, I've been thinking the whole time about, you know, some silly thing that I can't even remember when I get there, you know. But these are people here in Matthew 28 who walked with Jesus. And this is after Jesus has been crucified He has been buried. And I can't imagine the pain that they felt. This is their friend. This is their mentor. This is that, you know, they thought that he was the Christ. But yet they watched him die. Okay? And so here they go to his grave. And you know, many of you who've lost loved ones, you have no doubt visited the grave of your loved one, right? My granddaddy, his wife passed away, my mama passed away many years ago, but he was in his 90s, she was in her 80s, and they had been married for many, many, many years. And she passed away, and so heartbreaking to me, because I would go riding in his car with him. He'd always have a little Crown Vic or something that he would drive around as if it was a golf cart, okay? And he would drive it through the woods, and he would turkey hunt out of that thing, and it was just, that's how he got around, okay? And so I would go with him, and we'd throw some feed out at various places, throw some corn out and things like that, just to kind of, so he could have something to watch, you know. And then he would always take me up to the church, and he would stop by, he would drive by her grave, and he would roll down the window, and he didn't care I was sitting there. He would say, you know, Mamie, I miss you. You know, I'll see you soon, you know. And it was his routine. You know, and I know that he knew that she wasn't there. You know, he knew that she was in heaven, but you know, we miss our people, you know. And so here they come to the tomb of Jesus, their friend, their master. And what did they expect to find? Well, they certainly expect that he's not going to be there, right? So in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now one day this sort of event is going to happen in all the graves in the world. But here, Jesus Christ, as our older brother, you know, he is the trailblazer for us. He's the first fruits of them that would be resurrected. Here he goes into the grave and he comes out. And they see this angel sitting on this stone. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So they come here to the grave of Jesus, and what do you think they expect to see? Not this. They don't expect to see an angel sitting on top of the rock that covered the grave. I mean, I wouldn't expect that. You know, when you're visiting the grave of a loved one, you certainly don't expect there to be a dramatic event. You know, I used to cut the grass at our cemetery, and let me tell you that's some work right there. Okay, you try to, and the more that you weed eat, the more that you learn how to cut really close to those tombstones when you're cutting, right? And there was a few of them that had sunken in and fallen in. And my young mind, I'm telling you, I was thinking, oh, that person came out of the grave, you know? That person came out. And as you would go by, you'd kind of go by quick because you didn't want their arm to come out and grab you, you know? You don't really expect there to be drama when you come to the graveside. They didn't expect Jesus to be resurrected, even though he told them that he was. And so They said, the angel said to them, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He's not here. For he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. The empty tomb. What a beautiful depiction of the victory of Christ. That we don't have some grave site. You know, we've got grave sites for our, you know, presidents and people who've gone on before who were historical figures. And those places become monuments, and those places become places where people come and visit. As Christians, what we have, we don't have a grave of Jesus. There's an empty tomb where he once laid, you know, just like he laid down for a nap there one day. It's not significant because he is not there anymore. The significance is that he had victory over the grave. And so here they come to see Jesus. He's not there. And he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So they get instructions. They get surprised, but then they also get instructions. The angel says, he is gone before you into Galilee. Go there to Galilee, and he'll meet there with you. Okay, so what do you do? You've just been walking down this road, and you're probably all talking about some memories that you had with this with Jesus, and you're just thinking that you're going to see that everything looks nice, and you may put some flowers down, and then you're just going to go back home. But then you get there, and the tombstone is all messed up, and there's an angel on the top of it saying, he's not here, he's risen, and he's gone to Galilee. You go to Galilee, he'll see you there. Buddy, I'm going to Galilee, right? You know, I'm going to go to Galilee. Now, imagine that you just weren't feeling up to it. Maybe you're just tired. I get it. We all get tired. Maybe your social meter is all used up and you just got to be home for a little bit, right? I get that too. Well, sometimes we have instructions of where to go to see Jesus. Obviously, we know that now public worship is one of the ways in which we fellowship with Christ. We fellowship with one another. Any other type of fellowship opportunities that we have together? And so the instruction for these disciples is go to Galilee. And so they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, to their credit, right, these people, when Jesus appeared to them, they held on to him. You know, I've greeted people that I've missed dearly, hugged them, held them for a longer hug than normal, you know. But this is worship here, right? This is when you lay hold, that they laid held on his feet and held on to it. Now one day, we'll get to do that. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So, they spread that news. His disciples go into Galilee, and he appears to them. He appears to them and stays with them for a little while before he ascends into glory. Okay, so we're going to move and see a few different categories of people here as we sort of bring this around to a close. But notice this first category of people here in Matthew 28, these disciples, they came to see Jesus, okay? They were seeking Jesus in a sense, but they didn't expect to find a live Jesus. They thought he was going to be dead. Now, how often do you come here? How often do you come to your Bible study time, your prayer time, your private time of devotion to Christ? How often do you come and actually expect to find a living Christ there when you get there? Okay? And because I know, I have been there many times myself where it is a check-the-box situation. Okay, you do your prayer time, you do your Bible reading time to check the box so you can move on to the next thing. Now, I know none of you have ever done that, okay? But I know I have. And what's happening there is I'm just like those disciples. I'm going to see Jesus, but really I'm just looking at His grave. I don't really expect to see a living Christ there when I get there. And I forget, when I've got that mindset, I'm acknowledging that I have forgotten that Jesus Christ is alive and that when I come to Him, He's ready to fellowship. He's ready to visit. You know, when I'd go to my granddaddy's house, like I was mentioning, and go ride around with him and, you know, make sure that his car didn't break down somewhere, which happened a couple times, and he'd have to... of course, he was born in the Depression, so he was resourceful, you know. One time he broke down at the old pear tree place, we call it, and, well, he didn't use the phone that we gave him to call us. He just grabbed a bucket of corn out of the back of the car, and he just started walking, and then when he got tired, he would flip the bucket upside down and sit on it for a while and rest and keep going, you know. But when I would go to his house and visit with him, you know, it's not like we had to do something complicated to visit. It was just us talking, me listening to him, me talking to him about my day, you know. It's the same way when we come and we visit with Christ. There He is. The Lord of glory is there. When you pray, you have access that He has purchased for you with His own blood. You can come before the throne of grace in prayer right now. Or, you know, even when that person that's just really grinding your gears is right across from you, you can go to the throne of grace even then, okay? I have left the room, if you will, and gone to the throne of grace many times when I'm talking to certain clients, okay? But He's there, and we can visit with Him. But so often I come to Him not really expecting to see Him there, not really expecting to see Him alive. These disciples were surprised when they came expecting Him to just be in his place. But Jesus Christ, as C.S. Lewis would say, He's not a tame lion, right? He doesn't fit inside the boxes that people make for Him, okay? So let's be aware that we often do that ourselves when we check the box in our personal study time and fellowship. Okay, Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at a different type of people who were seeking Jesus. Now, hopefully, this is more this fits you better. I'm sorry to say that it doesn't fit me as well as it should. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" Again, these are not Jewish people, okay? These are like those Gentiles, those Greeks who came seeking Jesus and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." These are some wise men. I don't know what nation they were from, but they came, they left their homes, and they came seeking Jesus. The world didn't even know about Jesus yet. It says, "For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." Now, they noticed a star, okay? We'll dig into that in just a second. And so when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Yeah, right. Herod doesn't want to worship him. He wants to eliminate him. Now, these wise men picked up on it before the scribes, before these elders, before these people had picked up on the fact that Jesus was here. They had all this prophecy that Christ fulfilled every single one. And it was told where he would be born. And yet people were still surprised when Jesus came. But these wise men, how did they see it? Well, because they were diligent in their study. Okay? They studied. Now, as I said, I wish that this was a good fit for me. I study, of course. I studied the Word to preach. You know, but ultimately we all need to be students of the Word. Okay, you want to see Jesus? These wise men got to sit at the feet of baby Jesus. Of Jesus when he first got here in the flesh. Because they had been looking for Him and they had been studying diligently. Now, would you be able to notice that there was a star out there that wasn't there before? I wouldn't, because I'm not a student of the stars. I certainly like to appreciate the stars when I see them, but oftentimes I'm not a student of those things. Well, in the same manner, okay, you want to know some of the sweet elements of Christ. You want to know some of the beautiful encouragements that He has for you. You need to be a student of the Word of God. And you will see Him if you study.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.